The reading's taken from Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11, and it's on page 78 in your Bibles. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you should not do any work, neither you, nor your son or your daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day, blessed the Sabbath, and made it holy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Ruth, very much indeed. Just to say that our younger teens group, Ignite, is now happening. So if you're in that category, do make your way out. That'd be lovely. For the rest of us in here, if you could keep Exodus 20 open, that'd be really good. We are going to be looking at perhaps the trickiest of the commandments to teach about in terms of the amount of things that we need to unpack. It may be a little bit longer than normal, and it may raise more questions than we can deal with here. What a way to advertise the talk. Let's pray for God's help. Let's ask for his help. Heavenly Father, please open our minds to understand your will for us and help us to obey it and to enjoy your blessing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if I get the chance to chat to you later and I say, how are you? I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere in those first couple of sentences of reply, the word busy comes into your answer. Our culture has been described as money rich, but time poor. 3 out of 4 managers in a recent survey said that working late or over the weekend was the only way they could deal with their workload. 1 in 3 say they don't have the time to enjoy the money they've earned. 5 out of 6 say they are stressed by their work. That's only managers. What about working mothers, shift workers, zero contract workers, and many other groups? But this is not the experience of all. For many, it's the opposite problem. Maybe you're retired or not working for some other reason, and you're not busy. In fact, you'd love to be busy and have some structure, direction, or routine to fill your time. Either way, it's no surprise that there's a huge emphasis today on well-being, work-life balance, productivity. If only you could manage your life in a more healthy way and find that elusive pattern, rhythm, routine, one that works. Well, today we're looking at the fourth commandment, the Sabbath rest, and it is good news for us. But of all the 10 commandments, this is perhaps the one that we're most confused about. We can see when we look at the reading we've had today, basically what it meant for God's people as they stood there at the foot of Mount Sinai. But what does it mean today? And it's the commandment with the widest range of views as to how Christians should keep it. Is it still about keeping one day as different as a Sabbath from the other 6 each week? Or is it something wider than that? Either way, the main thing I want you to take away from today is to see that the Sabbath is a gift for time poor and time rich people. So my big overall aim is to say, remember to enjoy the gift of Sabbath. But first, let's walk through the Exodus commandment, and this will be really helpful for you if you have it open. It starts there in verse 8 by saying, God says, remember the Sabbath day. It's an interesting word, isn't it, to use, remember. Maybe it's because they've been slaves in Egypt for 400 years, and the idea of the Sabbath was just a distant dream. But I'm sure it's more than that. God knows that they and we will be prone to forget the Sabbath. I mean, have you thought about this question recently? Remember? Well, how? Well, it says here, by keeping it holy. Holy means special, separate, different from the other 6 days, set apart. He says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Notice that it is all your work. This isn't just talking about paid work, but every kind of work. If your household is anything like ours, there's lots to do. And if you're not in paid employment, I imagine you have still got lots to do day by day. Incidentally, this commandment is an important reminder that God commands his people to work on 6 days. But you're thinking, that's all right for you to say, Nick. You only work 1 day a week. I wish. But we are made to be workers. When we're younger, it's mostly school work and things like that. And then for most of us, paid work. And then in retirement, there's still plenty to do. And retired people flourish best when they have a focus, something to work at. Do you remember a few years ago, Bishop Wallace Benn was our guest speaker on a previous Weekend Away. And do you remember, he was crazy about cars. And he was asked about his recent retirement. And he said, I've taken my Pirelli tyres off. They're the sort of fast race tyres, apparently. And I've put on Goodyear, which are kind of more normal ones. And he said, I am driving on serving the Lord Jesus. Great example. So, 6 days for work. But then verse 10, the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your midst. The word Sabbath in the original literally means to cease or to stop. The heart of it is rest. Rest from all of the things that you normally have to do. That's the essence of it. All your usual activities and responsibilities. Stop. And notice that it is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. So Sabbath rest is not me time. It's not selfish rest. It's rest orientated to our Creator. And it's orientated to others. Because you see, when they rest, also any servants must rest too. And animals and aliens. That means foreign visitors who are living in the country. You stop so that others can stop too. Now, at face value, it looks like a complete stop. But we'll see later that God made provision for emergencies, works of necessity, and works of kindness, which should be done on the Sabbath. But then the reason, verse 11. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Or let me quote a bit from Genesis 2, because that's what it's referring back to. Genesis 2, verse 2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Remember, of course, that a few verses earlier, he has said, let us make humankind in our image. We're made to image or copy him, to be like him. And as he has 1 day in seven as a rest day, we're to follow the same command, the same pattern. It's the way we're wired up. We need this Sabbath rest. Now, there have been attempts through human history to change the pattern of weeks. In Stalin's Russia, for a few years, they abolished weekends. Everything had to be working all of the time, and you just sort of took it in turn to have time off at different times. But of course, it placed unbearable burdens on family life, and it had to be abandoned after a short time. Or after the French Revolution, for a few years, they instituted the new revolutionary calendar, a 10-day week. But one day off in 10 resulted in exhaustion for the workers. So Napoleon abolished it. You see, God has set this pattern of 1 in 7. We are his creatures. We're not above him. We need it if we're going to flourish as human beings. And in his amazing kindness, he commands us to take Sabbath rest. What a good God he is. Well, there's the commandment in brief. But did you realize that the Ten Commandments are restated by Moses 40 years later, just before they go into the Promised Land, and a new reason is added for keeping it? Deuteronomy 5, he restates the command, and he says, "Remember, you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." When they were slaves, they were always on duty. But now they're free people. And as free people, they can and should have a day off. And once again, it's for the benefit of all, so that no one is treated like slaves, always on duty. And so the Sabbath rest for God's people isn't just about the creation pattern. It's also a chance to remember our rescue. For the Old Testament people, it was remembering week by week they've been rescued from slavery in Egypt. For us, it's a chance to remember our rescue from slavery to sin through Jesus. And in the New Testament, it teaches us also that enjoying a Sabbath rest with God also teaches us that we can look forward to everlasting Sabbath rest in his new creation in heaven. So if you were taking notes or just want to clock it, Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4 give some teaching on that wonderful thing. So a Sabbath rest then involves joining God in his rest since creation and remembering our rescue and the eternal rest to come. So let's just sum it up where we've got to so far. Why take a Sabbath rest? Because of two reasons. First, creation, the way we're made. And second, because of our rescue, if we're Christians. What's involved in a Sabbath rest? Well, rest from our usual responsibilities and a chance to focus on God and his people. But we need to look more closely about how Christians should apply this command today. So first, what can we learn from Jesus? Well, I'm going to refer to Mark chapter 2, verse 23. You don't need to look it up, but you can if you want. I'm not going to read it all out because this is the instant where on a Sabbath day, Jesus and his disciples are going through some grain fields and they're hungry. And so the disciples pluck some ears of corn and the Pharisees say, "Look, they're breaking the Sabbath." And Jesus has to remind the Pharisees that David and his men did the same thing on a Sabbath in the past. And he sums it up with these words. Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath." The Pharisees were committed to Sabbath keeping, but they had the completely wrong attitudes. Jesus reminds them forcefully that it is right on the Sabbath to do works of necessity, like preparing food, and works of kindness. And he deliberately does lots of works of kindness on the Sabbath, healing, and it creates massive controversy. The Sabbath is not some grim fast day. It is a joyful feast day. The Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So remember to enjoy the gift of Sabbath, a gift given by God and his Son Jesus. As he says, and it's a great claim, isn't it, to his divinity, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. But interestingly, nowhere does Jesus cancel the one day off in seven pattern. He declared the end of the Old Testament food laws. He announced the end of the temple and its sacrifices, but he didn't end that Sabbath pattern. But what about the rest of the New Testament? What about Paul? Well, there are three passages in Paul which make it clear that the laws of Moses that governed the religious calendar are over. And many godly and wise Christians have interpreted Paul as saying that the requirement of one day off in seven is therefore also over. Though pretty much all godly Christians that I've read still think it is wise to take one day off in seven. Let me just give you one of the examples of this. Writing to the Colossians, Paul says, "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath." That's quite an important word, isn't it, for us as we think about how to apply this. And then he says, "These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." It is important, however, to hold Paul's teaching in the light of the entire Bible. And while I think it's clear that the laws of Moses that are to do with the circumstances of life under that covenant made at Sinai, they're fulfilled with the coming of Christ. Yet we've been seeing, haven't we, that the moral law of God is still in force for Christians. And we've seen week by week, haven't we, that this includes the Ten Commandments in the substance of what they are commanding us. These commands are always true because they flow out of the character of God and out of the way he has made his world. So the creation reason is really important when it comes to the Sabbath. It's still there. And I can't see a warrant for saying that this creation principle underlying it has gone. And I can't see a reason for saying that taking one day in seven for rest and for worship of God is gone. Jesus and his apostles had many opportunities for stopping this requirement, but they didn't. On the other hand, given that we're no longer under the covenant of Sinai, we're no longer under the obligation for our Sabbath to be strictly connected with their religious calendar. It doesn't have to be a Saturday. And so from the beginning, Christians felt free from the Jewish Sabbath. Jesus gathered his disciples on Easter Sunday and the Sunday after. And in the rest of the New Testament, it's clear that the churches were gathering on Sundays. And they were calling it the Lord's Day in remembrance of his resurrection. And so when the Roman Emperor Constantine became a Christian, he made Sunday the weekly day of rest. And it is the most appropriate day for a Christian to take that one in seven on the Lord's Day in remembrance of his resurrection as we look forward to that eternal Sabbath rest that he has won. But if, for example, you're in a situation where you can't do that, for instance, if you're in a Muslim-majority country where Sunday is a working day, well, I don't see a problem with taking it on a Friday or a Saturday for church to meet and for you to enjoy Sabbath rest. But what about us in the UK today? Sundays are no longer as special as they once were. Many more are required to work. Often it is to do emergency works of necessity or works of kindness, for instance, in medical things or the police. But many are being asked to take Sunday shifts or required to do that, such as in retail. And many Christians live in mixed families where not everyone is a believer. If you're a Christian in such a family, works of necessity and works of kindness surely apply as to how to treat your non-Christian spouse on your Sabbath day. I hope and pray that they will support you coming to church, though I recognize it's not always straightforward. And also to support you resting from your normal main work. But you may have to do works of kindness to them. Things you wouldn't do if it was all down to you. Nevertheless, in spite of it all, I still think the ideal, if you can do it, is to make Sunday special. Now, if you do, what do you do on such a day? Basically, is it a holiday or is it a holy day? Is it primarily about recreation or about worship? Well, actually, I think it's both. But the first purpose is rest. Sabbath breaking in the Old Testament case laws was always about working on the Sabbath, not failing to attend worship. But remember what we saw before. It is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. It is a rest orientated towards God and others, especially his people who also worship. Therefore, I think it is meant to be a day of worship as well as a day of rest. The theologian John Frame sums it up well. He says this: so, our Sabbath rest is a rest in the presence of God. He has been resting from his creative work, and for one day of the week, we join him, looking forward to the fullness of that rest on the last day. To rest in God's holy presence is to worship, so it's intrinsically worship. But during that rest, it is appropriate that we also meet for worship in the narrower sense, for times of praise, prayer, teaching, sacrament, and fellowship. And so that's another reason why I think an ideal, if you can, is to make Sunday your Sabbath day, so you can also spend at least a good bit of it with God's people. God has made us to need rest and worship and fellowship. It is hard sometimes to make time for Sabbath, but it is really important. We need it. And if we embrace the gift, it is very liberating. I just absolutely love it, waking up on a Sunday and thinking, wonderful, this day is different. It's like the church weekend away in one day, free from my normal responsibilities, free to enjoy today, in rest and with God and his people. Now, assuming you can combine that rest day and worship in one day, in a Sunday, how should you spend the day? Well, a list of do's and don'ts would be inappropriate. That was what the Pharisees tried. And so what they were doing was taking a good gift and turning it into a burden full of detailed rules. They were ruining it. And their hearts were not obedient to God. They were asking, basically, what can I get away with on this day? Rather than, how can I enjoy this good gift of God's? So the right approach, surely, is to have the big principles of Sabbath rest firmly in your heart. A rest from my usual responsibilities. Time of recreation. A time in the presence of God. And so also for worship with God's people. And I think once you have these principles firm, then you can prepare. You can plan, for instance, how to spend your days off, your Sundays. You can be asking the questions about, well, what activities will best fulfill the goal of Sabbath rest and worship? Here are some questions that you could ask. I've adapted these from a book I was reading, that you can ask this for yourself or, if appropriate, for your family. Is this activity merely self-indulgent without reference to God? Will this activity help or hinder the enjoyment of true Sabbath rest and worship? Will this activity help others to enjoy Sabbath rest? And if your boss is asking you to work on a Sunday, well, ask yourself, do you really need to do it? Can you schedule and plan your week differently to make Sunday special? If not, have you thought that maybe that another solution might be looking for alternative work, if you can, for your own well-being and for that of your loved ones? You will be able to prayerfully give good answers to these questions, but what you do individually and what you do with your families will look different, especially if your family is not all Christian. And two people might be doing the same thing when one is doing it for a good reason and the other is doing it for a bad reason. So it's not about lists of do's and don'ts. And whatever you do, and whatever your convictions are about applying the Sabbath rest today, don't judge others for what they prayerfully decide is right before God. You don't know all their circumstances. But if you have the big principles in place, then Sabbath rest is a wonderful gift to enjoy, a gift that we need. God has made us to need this rest and recreation, to need worship, to need fellowship. It is really important. And if it is something that you keep on missing out, well, over time, it will have a negative effect. For instance, you will start to feel a bit separate from other church people. And it will negatively impact the warmth of your Christian life. And you'll be more likely to get into those work-life imbalances that we talked about earlier, whether a time-poor version or a time-rich variety. If you have a car, you know that it needs regular servicing. The mechanisms need cleaning. Things need realigning so they work smoothly. Things need oiled. Tires need pumping. It needs time off the road on a regular basis so that it is fit and ready for time on the road. And it is, I suggest, the same with us. It has been said that it is not that God's people have kept the Sabbath, but rather that the Sabbath has kept them. Jesus says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I've made it for you. Will you remember and enjoy this wonderful gift? Let's pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your great love and kindness. And we thank you for all of these commandments, and especially this fourth commandment. Please help us today, Heavenly Father, as we reflect on this, as maybe we reflect on more questions that it's raised than perhaps we had before. But we pray you'll help us to respond to you in obedience and in such a way that we enjoy all the blessings that you have for us and for our church family. We pray this now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.